This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. It is officially Victory Monday. That's what we're going to call
wait,
this.
Wait. What?
You what do you got?
That? Uh-oh. We got a little something here.
I'm assuming.
You know what that is?
Well, I know what it is. I'm assuming you're going to let everybody else know what it is.
That's the Blues victory song, folks. That's their new victory song.
Are we aware of how this came about?
I am, actually.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Twitter alert.
No Twitter alert, I don't think. But they were visiting, let's just say, an adult beverage.
Jamie Rivers Club. On stage 7.
Yeah. And every time that there was a break in the action, I guess there was a boisterous guy at the establishment that said...
You're boisterous.
He said, play Gloria! Play Gloria! And so it was like kind of funny after a while. And then like after a time had gone by, finally they played Gloria at the club. And... everybody kind of went nuts and celebrated and laughed and had a great time. And I guess the boys thought that was pretty funny, and it was reminds them of a really funny time. So now if you watch them and they come off the ice, they, to a man almost, are yelling, play Gloria, play Gloria. And yes, so they play Gloria. Gloria. And they play it a lot lately.
I was going to say, does the trip to the Gentlemen's Club coincide with the beginning of a 10-game winning streak, I wonder?
I don't know if it directly coincides, but it certainly didn't hurt, right? You talk about team bonding. About getting out on the road.
And if you're going to get out on the road and team bond, why not there? Does this coincide with when you called for a slump buster?
Well, it does.
I'm just curious.
Individual.
Oh,
that
boy.
Individual.
Oh, doctor.
Slump buster.
Oh, doctor.
And all of a sudden.
the gentleman's club's a whole different thing than the rally squirrel.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, maybe the same.
You know, his Stanley Cup rings there. You can put a little a pole on the side of it, maybe with a.
You never know. Just put "Play Gloria" on the side of the ring.
I mean, it's like what in the world?
Listen to this
happened?
Shit, though, guys. Honestly, we're talking about rings and championships and stupid shit like that right now. I know we're doing well.
Oh yeah.
We had 10-game winning streak going on, but honestly, we were talking before we got on here, and it was like, who would have thought that this is where we'd be now? And of course, I jokingly said, well, I said this shit in September, which I did, by the way. However, nobody anticipated the, let's just call it speed bumps that we'd have in the first half of the season. But honestly, guys, this is incredible. You know, to go from where they've been to where they are now, and for this to just be like the norm. Now I put on the TV and I expect to see them winning in the game.
Yeah, Gary and I were talking about it before you got here. I mean,
what
how do you, how do you, like, and here's the thing, as a fan, I mean, do you really even care? It seems like anymore at this juncture, you're just happy, right? Like, this is going down this way, but it does, if there's anybody out there that's frustrated that they didn't play this way all year long, I don't know what to tell you other than just enjoy this ride. And
embrace it, for sure.
Embrace it. I mean, your team's playing as well as any team in the league, evidenced by the fact, and I've brought this up a couple times, I mean, you played a home and home with Nashville, who, let's face it, we are measuring ourselves with now, correct? I mean, whether you like the crowd there or not, and I don't know why people get so bent out of shape about the stuff their crowd does. I mean, big deal, but that'd be, you know, you fan how you want to fan. But the reality of it is we took 4 out of possible 4 points for them, which was an 8. I mean, not, I don't know that we can catch Nashville, but that's a huge swing.
Well, but we're 6 points behind with 3 games in hand. So mathematically, we can catch Nashville.
Well,
in your life, in your hockey yeah. life, in my hockey life, I've never seen a team do
this. Well, here's the thing.
And what about you, Rives?
Oh, it's nuts. Like we talked about a couple episodes in a row, is they went from last in the NHL.
Yeah.
Was it 45 days ago, roughly?
You said January, like, 2nd.
January 2nd to where they are now. So we'll let Cromer keep going because he's going to cry over here.
Well, no, I'm just saying. You win those two games, and then you go into you come into a game, and you're like, okay, here comes the letdown. And not only do they not let down, they absolutely beat the shit out of New Jersey.
Yeah, Rives, you and I called that a trap game, and it was.
It was.
Well, it was, but it turned out not to be.
But, yeah, it's
turned out to be. It turned out to be an exclamation point.
Our friend Sarah, you know Sarah, she sent this in and said, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but on December 17th, the odds in the Central – St. Louis, 10.1%, Winnipeg, 92%, Nashville, 91%. You got all that right. Now, St. Louis, 96.6%.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. In your pro life, have you ever seen a leap like this?
Not like this. Like you have.
I don't care what pro level.
No. You have teams that struggle a little bit. They play 500 hockey. They put together a 5-6 win streak and things like that. But I've honestly never seen or been a part of a team that's been last, dead last, and strung it together like this at such a crucial time. Like, for them to ring off 10 games in a row in November or late October, that's great. And some teams did do that, and now those teams are, like, gone.
Right.
So for them to do it at this point of the season, it's extraordinary.
It is, and we've all watched all the games, and you know as well as I do, sometimes when you go on these runs, you just, like, find this incredible puck luck. I don't feel like they've been lucky. Like, there's been some good bounces, but holy crap, they're just outplaying everyone.
They are. They're doing a great job.
It's not like they, you know.
They're controlling the middle of the ice from the offensive blue line back to their goal line. They're controlling the middle of the ice. And then in the offensive zone, they're absolutely dominating the play down low. And they're using their defense really wisely. What I like about it is their D, and we complained about this a little bit earlier in the season. Our buddy there, Kimby, you know, talks about how some of these D aren't offensive and should just know their job and, you know, quit trying to jump in every time. He's not wrong because it wasn't working back then. But now when I watch them play, the interchanging that goes on between the forwards and the D end up down low, the forwards end up down up high. It's really, really difficult for other teams to cover that kind of that play. And we've seen it a couple of times now where, you know, like we talk about the Gunnarsson goal and then Petro scores. And then how about yesterday? Shorthanded goal, I believe.
Right.
Petro to Vince Dunn.
Right.
And he scores. Like, right. You're like, what the hell's going on around here?
You know, that's a guy, you just said Vince Dunn. You know, I think last year we were all extremely impressed. And while this year, you know, I don't know that he was not good offensively. I think he struggled a little bit early on defensively, but he's upped his game. I mean, obviously some of the normal guys are getting a lot of play here, and probably most importantly, Vladimir Tarasenko, of course. But the reality of it is Vince Dunn stepped up his game. And you know what? A guy that's taken a absolute beating on this show and every forum and every newspaper and every Twitter handle and every has Jay Bomeister has played really
last time
for about a month and a half.
A month and a half. He's playing the best hockey in that month and a half, and he's played 5 years.
So I ask you both this question. Well, I mean, probably more Jamie than you. I mean.
Oh, thanks.
No.
Suck it, Gary.
Well, I'm just saying he may know something. But the reality of it is you might have to point to both he and Vladdy, and Vladdy said as much, and I was surprised that he did say it, but you know, maybe these guys are healthy. Maybe it is. Is it that simple, Jamie?
Well, yeah, it is. Sometimes, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before with Bomeister with a hip injury, especially on a guy that, you know, uses his speed to his advantage over the course of what looks like a 25-year career here for this guy. If that's affecting him and he can't get around from A to B as good, well, then, yeah, his play is going to drop. And he's not going to play as confident. He's not going to be as sound defensively. All of those things. And for Vladdy, you know, the shoulder surgery that he had, and he comes back, and he said he was A-OK. But one would wonder how OK he was. He wasn't shooting the puck with the same velocity on it. He wasn't even wanting to shoot the puck.
Yeah, maybe he was just okay. he wasn't good, you know. Yeah,
but you know, he just looked like he was looking to distribute the puck every time rather than shooting it. And you know, we've talked about this a million times on here. Vladdy's the shooter. Like, everybody else can pass it around, and when they want to shoot the puck, they got to get it to Vladdy. And so that mindset, along with maybe him being 100% healthy, combined, that's got him where he's at right now, where this guy believes he can score every time he shoots the puck. But I will bring up this one thing, and I did a little research on this. Yeah, if you get a shot, a goal chart, a heat map of Vladdy's goals, okay, they all come from inside the faceoff circle in the offensive zone, one side or the other, almost right around the actual faceoff dot. He receives a puck, and that's where he unleashes it from. And if you look at where he's scoring from in the last 10 games, it's left side or right side, and it's right within a five square foot radius right of where this heat map suggests. So, you know, we weren't wrong before, and people at home weren't wrong before when he was up at the blue line and he's doing all this other crazy stuff where we're like, why is he doing that? You know what? Well, now there's actually analytical data to support what everybody was saying, right, that he's more dangerous down low. And guys, I'm telling you what, if you saw this thing, it's kind of like white and a little bit of blue on the outside, and then it's like bright red in that area on both sides of the ice. You're like, holy crap. Like, this guy, every time he gets the puck in that area, don't even think past.
Yeah, that's where the weather warning shows.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what it looks like.
He's finding those soft spots, too. I mean, it's, when you're that hot, it's amazing, too, that a guy can get that wide open. I used to say that about Brett Hull back in the day. I'm like, how does a guy like that get that wide open?
He gets open like that because he's playing with Ryan O'Reilly, who is still the best player on the ice. He's over a point a game here for the Blues, and Braden Schenn, who's turned it up. So who the hell do you cover?
Right, and if you look at teams that have been successful and won championships, their lines are structured. Their top two lines are structured a lot like that line, where you have the playmaker, O'Reilly, but he can score. Then you have Schenn, who's a playmaker, can create space for them guys, and can score. And then you got the shooter. And that's Vladdy, obviously. And that's like been a recipe for years in the NHL, you know, for success.
I'm glad you said recipe, because I'm going to turn to Jamie and say they surely now, where we thought, honestly, 2 months ago, they were going to trade Braden Schenn because he probably had the most value and he only had 1 year left on his contract. They surely now, that recipe is out the window.
Oh, I would have to imagine. Yeah. At this point, you know, we talked about right before the All-Star break and then coming out of it, we were always like, well, what are the Blues doing now? What is Doug Armstrong's next move? What kind of a deal is he going to make? And I think to a man, we said, well, it's all going to depend on the next string of games. That will decide what he does. And well, now 10 in a row tells me that Doug Armstrong's not blowing this up.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. You know, the only thing I think that he could go looking for, and I even said the other day on here, I think it was Thursday, I said, oh, well, goaltending. You know, because I thought, well, Jake, maybe he's run his course, this, that. Well, he comes back with 40 saves in Nashville and a 32-save shutout in Colorado. Right. So 72 saves in two games. I'm thinking I'm just going to shut up on Jake. Yeah.
Okay? No. You know what? Just keep going. You're on a roll. Like, you were ready to trade Tarasenko.
Well, these guys, we've said it before. These guys listen to the podcast. They hear what we say about them. They text me. They call me. We have some heart-to-hearts. I tell them I can't bullshit the people.
So I gotta give the people what they want.
You know, but going back to my point on this is, if we're going to actually address something, if this is like Fantasyland, because we like that in here. If we're going to address something that the Blues should go after at the trade deadline, I think they should target a guy like Justin Falk in Carolina, because as good as Vince Dunn has been, I still think that they could add a true power play quarterback to that lineup. And depth on D, as we're seeing right now.
Right.
Gunnarsson gets nicked up, and you know, now we've got, you know, Chris Butler's been awesome. There's no, I have no problem with Buttsy. I love the guy. He's a hell of a player. But, you know, if you get two injuries, like Vince Dunn took a whack there yesterday, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit, now yeah. what, right? Like,
right.
they have nothing in the reserve. So if they bring in a guy like a Justin Falk, and I just use his name because his right-handed shot, he quarterbacks a power play, he's a veteran player, he could really help the team. If they, that, to me, is the only thing on my wish list.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, not obvious, but it's accurate. Like, we mentioned that before a little bit. What were we talking about? We were talking, like, what if one of the D gets in a scrap and then another D?
Yeah.
And so we just – we mentioned about the depth before, and I think that's a great pickup. What do you have to give?
He's a $5 million cap hit.
Yeah, but he's a. I think he's coming on to unrestricted.
One more year.
So okay, that's actually a dream come true.
Yeah.
Now to get a guy at a deadline with another year, you're going to probably have to part with a young player. Who that is, I don't know, or maybe some draft picks. But guys, if you've got a team like the Blues right now that are on a 10-game win streak, that if you look across the NHL, they've beaten the best teams.
Yeah.
Recently. So you're like, so you're saying there's a chance, right? Like, you never know. I don't know. To me, I'm always live in the moment. And right now, the moment would tell me to add a guy to the lineup and go for it.
Yeah. It's like all good business. How do you pay for it? Because, I mean, they don't have the space for it. It'd be an interesting trade to see what they could do with Carolina, because Carolina, you know, thinks they can make a little noise here this year too. They're on the edge,
but they've been wanting to move Falk almost all year.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's a bad player; he just, for whatever reason, doesn't fit into Rod Brendamore's plans of the younger team and this, sure. and that, and the other. So I think that I think there's a deal to be done there, somehow, some way.
Well, I'm sure you can get it done.
Give me the phone, goddammit.
Let's get it
I'm
done.
Calling Waddell down in Carolina.
You know, the whole thing for me has been like an interesting watch from the standpoint of, you know, we deal with fans that tweet in and we give opinions and, you know, and let's face it, you break the game down tremendously. Is there anything, we're pointing out players, Jamie. I mean, obviously you can't say enough about, listen, this is a team thing, but this Vladimir Tarasenko thing right now is crazy, right? We can look at him, the Jordan Binnington, or, you know, is there anything in the style of play that you're noticing? I mean, remember at the beginning of the year we were harping on the man-to-man defense thing and why are they doing this? And we talked a little bit about the power play and things like that. Are you noticing anything maybe in a – and I don't know. Has there been a change in the system? Has there been a change in the approach of the way they're going about it?
A little bit, yeah. It's been very subtle, and which is kind of the way you have to do it, because if you try to put input dramatic change, it can be a shit show.
Well, it was a shit show.
Yeah, but sometimes it can even worse. But no, they've had a subtle change. The biggest thing that I've noticed is, one, is from the offensive blue line back to their net, they're clogging up the middle of the ice very well. And if you watch their forwards, what they call it tracking nowadays, which is just a new word for back checking, their forwards are back checking so hard that if you watch the Arizona game in particular, Arizona couldn't even get across the blue line with while handling the puck. They did not have possession of the puck almost the whole game. They were forced to dump it in or chip it in or do something, and that was caused by the back pressure from the St. Louis Blues forwards, and the D are able to stand up then too. If you don't have that great pressure from the forwards, you have to back off, which gives the opposition a lot more ice to work with. And we saw that early in the year, that teams were getting a lot of clean zone entries. They were, you know, getting a lot of puck possession across the blue line. We're not seeing that now. And then when they do get into the zone, they're just sealing off the middle of the ice so well. They've got five guys. I say five guys in the box in the house. But basically it's five guys in the middle of the ice in front of the net that are taking away those opportunities or blocking shots. They look a lot like the Blues team we saw a couple of years ago in that playoff series against the Wild, where the Wild couldn't get one shot through, you know, three, four guys. And if they did, it got to the goalie and Jake made the save. Well, they look like that team again. So that to me is the things that jump off.
Did you know, I was going to, you know, Gary and I usually a lot of times will text during the thing, but I know you were busy winning another conference championship this weekend.
Oh, no big deal.
No big deal. But you know what's funny is to watch the Blues play, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but did you notice how frustrated Colorado and Minnesota were yesterday
look at
and
the
day
bench.
Before?
Look at the bench. Look at
their fans. Like you could see it. Like the
watch when the whistle blows. If you want to see what a team is feeling, watch as soon as the play is shut down. The whistle blows. Look at them.
Yeah,
they were beat.
Staring up at the.
They were beat. They were frustrated. They were mad. Go back to what Jamie said about the system stuff. The Blues at the start of the season. Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
Oh, he will.
When they were back, checking because of the system that was in place, which was a man-to-man down low and then somewhat of a zone when the puck was above the dot or high, you know, above the circles. They were kind of in this zone thing. I believe that when they were back-checking to an area, which is I complain about all the time with my guys. Don't back-check to an area. Back-check to a guy and take away that guy. And so you take away their ice in the zone. And I think it looks to me like that's what they're doing now more because, you know, as well as I do, you get taught to back check all the way to the net. Well, in that process, you might leave somebody open behind you. And it's just not the case anymore. They're not back checking to an area. They're back checking to the man. And then the puck carrier, if it's not a Blue, has no options. And then what's he do? He has to release it. And then the Blues can retrieve it. And all of a sudden, we're going the other way. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's you're half right.
I know.
Right? So
I'll take that.
Which is, you know, which is better than usual. No, I'm just kidding. what they're doing is, you know, with the back pressure, the back checking that they have, the F1 or first forward back that's back checking, his job is to pressure the puck carrier.
Right.
At all cost. And the other two guys are to plug the middle of the ice on their way back. So effectively what happens is you smother that puck carrier. So he comes across the blue line, or he gets to the blue line. The D is standing him up. But because the forwards are coming back with such pace, that D is allowed to be super aggressive. Because even if he gets walked, that forward's coming back with enough pace
so
to
hard,
catch him on the backside. You know, now you don't want to get walked at full speed. But certainly, and you think an NHL defenseman's not going to happen like that, but all it does is it forces that one guy who has the puck, he gets kind of squeezed off by the D, and he looks over his shoulder, and there's another guy bearing down on him, so his only play is to try and chip it into open ice, which these two other guys coming back are there to pick up the loose change, or at least disrupt.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Is, you know, F1 back is, you know, they call him the lead dog, and he's just chasing that down like crazy.
Right.
With the only purpose for that is to get to the guy.
Right.
And then the D gets to stand up, and then everybody else fills the holes in.
It's just amazing. I'm looking at the Blues schedule, and I can't help but look at this thing and remember, you know, a few weeks ago when we were looking ahead at this part, and we were dissecting, we were breaking it down into like 1 week periods of, this will tell Doug Armstrong what he's doing. And then as we went through it, and it just, you know, you're hoping to get X amount of points, and basically you've gotten them all. So it's been amazing. But so for this team now, Jamie, we're living in this moment. We're understanding it. We're trying to come to grips with it, I guess, because all year long people were frustrated. But now as we sit, and you brought it up, I mean, is there a chance? You know, they're saying there's a chance, right? We could win the whole thing, the division, I mean. Is Tuesday's game going to be a measurable game for us because Toronto's coming to town? And let's face it, you're going to get a little bit of the dose of your own medicine the way they play.
Yeah, to an extent. But you have to look at it, too, is it's a great opportunity for the Blues. You know, you have to put Toronto up there with the Tampa Bays of the league on the eastern side. You know, Boston certainly is another one, and the Islanders of late have been fantastic. But, yeah, it's a huge game. So this is not a trap game, in my opinion, because if Toronto was middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference, well, we'd be saying trap game again because, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know? But they're not.
No trap games coming up here.
No. So
this is,
you know, Toronto's a hell testing. Of a team with Austin Matthews and Tavares and Marner. They are everybody's, you know, a little puppy dog over there in the East. Everybody loves him, and Toronto media love him more than anybody. But it's a huge game for the Blues. This is going to be a clash of the Titans to a certain extent.
You know, the only you always think about sometimes silly things, but looming after that is going to Dallas. So you hope they're not thinking, okay, my own conference. I don't know.
I tend to not.
I don't want anything to disrupt this train. You know,
what's
so.
Funny about runs like this is you get 5, 6, 7 games deep, which is incredible. Now you're at 10, right? I can tell you what, it's amazing how that works. When you're at 1 or 2 wins in a row or 3 in a row, you're looking at your schedule going, okay, who do we have next? Who do we have next? The next 2, 3 games, right? And you're kind of looking not beyond your next game, but you kind of are. But now when you get to 10 games in a row, you don't even give a shit anymore. You don't care who you're playing. You don't. I bet you half the guys don't even know they play Dallas after Toronto. I'm not joking.
I believe
because they're so in the moment, right? And things are going so good that you're like, okay, we got the Maple Leafs. And then after that, I'd be like, well, where the fuck are we going after this? What, who do we got next?
It realistically increases – not that pro athletes aren't hungry, but it increases the hunger because you know you just won 10, and you're like, let's go get 11.
Yeah.
And you grit your teeth with that. Like, you get a face with that. That cliche game face, those – the eyes, the whole thing. Man, you win 10, you know you want that 11.
Well, just think about the shit that the hockey world has been talking about St. Louis Blues for a bigger portion of this year.
Right.
Now these guys are 10 in a row. They're like, screw you guys.
Yeah, there's a big middle finger, and they're just going to keep
massive.
Going. Yeah, and I'm going to have to eat.
Cream spinach.
That is so disgusting.
Topped with cinnamon. That's, hey?
That freaking trash can better be close.
Oh, boy, here we
That's
go.
That's going to be awesome. Might have Kimby serve it to you in a dog.
Come on. This big-ass pawsy.
Greasy spoon with a dirty ass.
I want his hands nowhere near my food. Just like Rivers.
Maybe we'll have you eat it off Kimby's back.
Come on. That's sick.
I'm just kidding.
That guy's probably got a – his back is hairy. Look at him. Oh, he's like God.
Wow. Kimby not here to defend himself.
What a shot.
Wow.
No, he is. He ain't well.
Poor guy. Hasn't been around lately.
He was talking about
working into the
bone. I don't want to get into that. But.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but anyways.
Well, let me ask you this now. When you start thinking of your competition and ultimately what you have to climb over to get where you want to get, a good tweet, pointing out the obvious if you do the research. Nashville sits there. Where they do with $6 million in cap space and a first round pick to deal, and Winnipeg also has a first round pick with $5 million in cap space. So you would have to believe that both of those teams feel they are Stanley Cup worthy and will try to improve at the deadline. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I would too if I was them.
Yeah, I think I've heard both of those teams mentioned in several trades, mostly recently surrounding Duchesne, Stone, and Dzingel. Up in Ottawa, and also Wayne Simmonds. So those are the four players that have been associated with Nashville and Winnipeg recently. And so it's going to be interesting to see here what develops.
I'd love that's the like you were talking about what you would do like with, and as a man, I'd love a guy that would come in here and just rattle cages along the boards, you know, in front of the net.
We're in an interesting spot though. And let me say this is, yes, oh, yeah, could we go player X would be awesome here. You know, we love this guy on our team. But the players have said it best lately.
Right.
Is sometimes you don't want to disrupt the chemistry.
I get that.
And it's crazy how it works, you know. Yeah. And it'd be like, oh, well, we'll just remove a small piece. Like, what harm could that do? Yeah. And there's a chain reaction sometimes from that. Yeah. And it can slide. And when you're winning hockey games the way they are right now, you don't want to mess with that. I wouldn't want to fuck with that. Like, why? If I was Doug Armstrong right now, I'd have my feet up just watching the game. And like, you know, every time the phone rings, I'd be like, decline, decline.
I'm going to have a question for you here in a minute. I do want to remind people, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Find us on social media. We've got our contest going on right now. Twitter, you can find us at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Facebook's always an area of interest for us to try to grow. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, find our page, like it. You'll see some posts on there, obviously the shows and some of the other things that we do. Instagram's a big push for us right now, though, Blues NHL Podcast. We're asking you to follow us there. It's part of our contest, folks. You know, we appreciate everything Adam Smokehouse has done for us. Our good friend Dennis Minner does his Live from Minner Arena segment each week, brought to you by Adam Smokehouse. Our contest currently going on right now. We've been sharing it. It's very simple, folks. Head on down to Adam Smokehouse. Take a picture of yourself eating. Send it to us in an Instagram post. Tag us. Tag Adam Smokehouse. Make sure you follow us. You're qualified to win. We're going to have four winners to join us on March 21st for our Live from Inner Arena show in the basement of one of the greatest fan caves you're going to find if you're a Blues fan. Food from Adam Smokehouse. Great commentary, of course, from Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball. Maybe Coach Henson will come along. He hasn't joined us yet at the Minner Arena show, but Jamie may have the knuckle dragger with him, and maybe another.
Well, several knuckle draggers.
Several
you
knuckle
draggers. You gotta be careful because we got one that's part of the show.
Right.
He's not here today. Other friends of the show.
Just a great opportunity. Yeah, a great opportunity for you to be involved in what's one of our funnest shows of the year. We're gonna be recording it live. We're gonna be recording it on video, and you'll have an opportunity to be a part of the show, ask some of the questions, take some pictures, get some signed stuff, whatever you want to do. But it's going to be a fun day, and we'd love for you guys to be a part of it. To learn more about that, like I said, you'll see the tweets from us. All you got to do is get your picture taken eating at Adam Smokehouse and send it to us, and we're happy to have you.
How's that going right now anyways? I mean, we talked to people about tagging us and that. I've only had one person tag themselves at Adam Smokehouse. Are we getting some action on this or what?
Well, I mean, we got to give people time to get over there.
They need to get over there now. Yeah. Enough of the crap.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. We're ready. We're just cancel this thing.
Yeah, we're ready for you. Let's go. I mean, I've had some people send it to me on Twitter, but like I told you, this is an Instagram contest, so let's get going.
Yeah, we got to get more pictures flowing here. We got to generate a little more at Adam Smokehouse. We'd like to see you people in there, crowding the place, making those people work a little harder. Come on now.
Let's do this. I mean, if I got to go over there and eat and meet you, I will. I mean,
If you guys get over there may not be a whole lot left. I'm just saying.
Okay, Mr. Brisket. That's going to be your new nickname. Hey, Brisket.
Brisket to go, please.
Hey, Brisket to go. What's going on? Okay, so interesting. I got to ask you. We've talked a lot about the resurgence of certain guys, Vladdy Tarasenko being one, and I know – like everybody at one time or another has been on this guy's ass, and rightfully so. I mean, let's face it. Like Darren always says, you're paid to score goals. It's time to start scoring some goals, right? I got to tell you, though, I mean, there's been rumors about him in the clubhouse and things like that.
Clubhouse?
Or the locker room, whatever you want to call it.
Did he play for the Cardinals, hence?
Okay, so no. Here's my deal. Okay, here's my deal, and I mean this. I'm sorry. I don't buy any. There is no way as a teammate of this guy you don't like him. He is the happiest guy on the ice for other people. I mean, look, did you see him with Jake the other day?
Jesus, Cromer. What kind of tea are you drinking?
I don't buy it. I just don't buy
it. Long Island iced tea?
I don't buy it. I just don't. I mean, I just – it nothing – I love players that are good, that care more about what other people when they have success, especially when they know they're struggling. And, like, you know, seeing him with Jake the other day and making it a point afterwards to bring him up in the interview. I don't know. That stuff just to me. And if you're a teammate and it doesn't matter to you, then go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about it.
Well, wow. Yeah, but here's the thing you got to remember is, and I'm not saying he's not a great guy in the clubhouse, as Cromer would call it. But, there has been some peaks and valleys. When you have a star like that, when he's not playing well, they are difficult to be around. It's not fun to be around those guys. And, you know, they can rub people the wrong way. And for all the right reasons, wrong reasons, whatever the hell you want to say about it, their personal success ultimately drives team success. And so, yes, it's great to see them smiling and crediting other players and being happy for other guys. But it's almost like it's such a combination of things where he's playing better. He's playing hungrier. He wants it more. So when other guys are successful, it helps with his cause, which ultimately is the team's cause of winning hockey games. So, yes, he's been a motivated player. And you know what? Not just Vladdy, but a lot of guys, it's fun to watch them cheer for their teammates. So, once again, to make this point very clear, I'm not saying he was good or bad or not in the locker room, but I can only imagine that a lot of these guys weren't very fucking friendly around the locker room when things were going shitty.
Yeah, no, I get that part. Like, it's not a fun situation for anybody.
It doesn't have to be a star either.
Yeah,
I would imagine if you're a pro athlete and your team's not playing well and you're not playing well, everybody's pissed.
It's a miserable time. And because guys like us and other media people and other radio shows and TV and fucking newspaper, we talk about it every single day, right? And what? How many times we come in here and go, holy fuck, I'm sick of talking about how bad things are going right now. And we're like, shit, you don't want to, like, what do we talk about today? And now yeah. we have something nice enough, but it's shitty for these guys who have to answer questions every day when things aren't going good. How many fucking times can you say the same shit over and over and over again?
Well, we took our foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah, we didn't come together as a team. And then the media's like, always the same answers. Well, that's the answer.
Yeah.
What do you want us to invent something?
Hey, great tweet here. Since canning the head coach, St. Louis Blues 23-13-2, Flyers 15-9-3, Kings 19-20-5, Blackhawks 18-19-6. Oilers 15-18-4, and the Ducks 1-1.
Oilers are bad.
Oilers are confusing. That's confusing to me.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
I mean, it usually takes Hitch how long before the message gets stale? I mean, what happened?
Well, he came in there and he rocked their boat, but I just think they're a fragile group overall, and they're a young group between the ears, so Hitch coming in there had an effect right away, but then it's almost too much for them.
How do you feel about it? Like, I know this is off the Blues thing, but...
We don't have to stay on the Blues.
Okay. So how do you feel about such a young captain?
Who else?
I don't know.
You've traded everybody
else. Well, true, but there's not a veteran there?
No. I mean, there isn't. Like, there's Kyle Brodziak. He's on a one-year deal, I think.
Yeah.
You going to give it to him?
No.
You know, there's Lucic. They gave him an A, but then a year into his contract, everybody wants him gone. So is that the captain?
Yeah, he had like a 5-game stretch where he was good. Now he's really
He not. Is Chris Stewart.
You well, think? I don't know.
I don't know about that. He's a little better than Stewie, in my opinion.
Over
the course of his career, he has been.
Talent-wise.
But I'm just saying, who else do you give it to?
I don't know. But,
you don't have anybody else.
Yeah, but I guess you're right, I guess. Yeah.
Shit, they even just traded Talbot. They're goalie. Yeah. So now they're sitting there with a losing record, and they just signed a goalie to a 3-year extension who I don't know if he's won one game since he signed that contract. You got rid of your backup / starter goalie, Talbot. You have no veteran presence with any term on their contract. So who else? It has to be McDavid.
Yeah, I guess.
Or Draisaitl.
That's what I was kidding. But they're both young.
No, that's too young.
They're both young.
You know, I don't know.
How do you feel about young captains in general?
I've always felt it was a mistake.
That's kind of what I was going at.
Because it's a lot of pressure on the kid. One, he's not arguably. I believe he's the most dynamic player in the world. So there's a lot of pressure on this kid day in and day out to perform at this all-star level, right, from a young age. And the whole city of Edmonton is on this kid's fucking shoulders. And the
That's
franchise.
That's a tough one.
a brand new rink. All the stuff that is all based upon Connor McDavid. And now you throw the C on his jersey.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And That's he hasn't a lot underperformed. He's still one of the best players in the league, yeah, but he's running a solo mission out there.
True, and they're bad in general, but he's not the best 200-foot player in the world either.
But, Gary, how could he be?
All right, I understand.
Fuck, he can't score the goal, come back, save the goal, take the puck from the guy, play defense. Can't do it all.
Well, yeah, you can.
Well, no, he can't. And that's what's happening.
Let's be honest. A C in Edmonton is
a lot of weight.
You know who were at C.
Got a couple of guys. A couple of really good captains in the history of the Oilers, that's for sure.
History of the league.
Yeah, like you're talking top 10 guys.
Yeah. And so I don't know. But it goes back again to whatever the management's plans were there, where they didn't keep older guys around with term. So you can't just throw a C on a guy for 1 year and he's gone, throw it on another guy, then he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, in the world of leaders, when you have innovative companies led by our friend Randy Green. You
nice,
like that?
Nice
you like that?
Segue.
Okay, residential, commercial, industrial. Randy Green's got you covered. He's a man of his word, man of honor. See, leader. Construction, heating and cooling, electric. Randy Green's got you covered. That's innovativecompanies.com. They take a lot of pride in helping people, too. If you've got heating issues, especially when the weather turns really bad, give them a call. They're there to help. That's innovativecompanies.com. I would be taken aback if I didn't ask you
remiss
about I would remiss would be remiss. Good Don Cherry.
He's usually just a miss.
Yeah, Don Cherry. You got to address this. Now, I wish Kimby was here.
I wish Kimby was here, too.
Because you two guys would be banging heads on this. But Don Cherry has had enough of the Carolina Hurricanes thing. And I, you know, if you want to, you can beat on me if you want, because I think it's the absolute dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Listen, here's where everybody's missing the point on this, okay? Has it gone over the top? Have they gone? Yes, it has.
Jump the shark.
But it's kind of had to, right? Because it took on such a life of its own from the very beginning that they've had to continue to escalate this thing in order to keep it relevant. And you know what? They play at home, and they are. I'll tell you what. Yeah, they're not drawing like sellout crowds, but the crowds have slowly gotten bigger. And guess what happens at that rink every time they're winning a hockey game late in the game? Nobody's leaving.
Right.
They're staying there right to the end to see what they're going to do. And here's where I understand both sides of it. Yes, the hockey traditionalist in me says, well, you know, you don't embarrass the other team like Don Cherry said. Well, you're not embarrassing the other
they're
team.
They're not on the
they're
ice
not even
anymore.
On the fucking ice anymore. And guess what? I don't care about if I'm the other team.
What they're doing after the game.
I don't give a shit. You know?
Come on.
So Don Cherry, who I love Don, and God.
Man, I wish I had some.
This is so hard for me because I respect Don Cherry so much and loved him over the years. And he was such a staple in the Rivers house for Coach's Corner at the intermissions. Like, you'd stop whatever you're doing. And, you know, the chief there, my dad, would yell, Coach's Corner's coming on. And it would come to a halt at the Rivers house, and we'd watch Don Cherry. But for a guy who's made his living about by being, you know, flamboyant, off the rails, you know, offside, all the things that Don Cherry has done to make himself a household name, you'd think he'd have a little bit more of an understanding about these guys doing something a little unique in order to generate some buzz for their team.
I find it completely ironic that a guy who wears the clothes he wears is criticizing the Carolina team for doing something untraditional. Now, Don Cherry's going to say, well, I'm not showing anyone up. Well, I'm going to argue along with you. They're not showing anyone up either. The other team isn't on the ice. And let's face it, Don Cherry should know know business and know hockey business. And what is Carolina doing right now? Selling T-shirts. What are they selling?
Yeah.
What are they selling? They're selling T-shirts based on a Don Cherry quote.
Yeah.
So, you know, Carolina ain't mad at them because now they have another revenue source.
Well, and I've said this from the very start. In that demographic, you're dealing with college football fans and NASCAR fans predominantly. And those people like to whoop it up, right? Yeah. College tailgating is probably some of the most fun you're ever going to have. Apart from NASCAR tailgating and being at the if you've never been to a NASCAR event, it is a shit show.
It's awesome.
It's amazing, right? So when you encompass those two things together in that area, and now you go turn it into a hockey game, and you have people that are drinking, having a good time, tailgating, and then staying after for something fun that's unique to their team.
Yeah.
You know, the storm surge.
Yeah.
And now they're a bunch of jerks, so they're feeding off of this shit every time somebody says something. Just let it be, man. Just let the Beatles said, let it be.
Yeah, you know, I would give him, if I was Don Cherry, I'd be looking for some royalties.
Somebody should have thrown a shot caller on
that. Think about how
night.
Great that freaking marketing plan is. Like, they just jumped on it, selling all these shirts to their fans.
Yeah, for those who don't know what Gary's talking about, is literally the Carolina Hurricanes, like, within 24 hours, and I'm going to make sure I say this correctly, but they went on their Twitter thing, and they changed their profile or their whatever you want to call it, their bio in Twitter, to now it's Carolina Hurricanes, NHL Canes, that bunch of jerks with fun celebrations is their bio. And they've made T-shirts now, and the T-shirts have their colors and whatnot and says bunch of jerks.
Their tweet yesterday, we're a bunch of jerks, and we have the shirts to prove it.
There you go.
You know, like, holy crap. And you know there's a few people that hate the Carolina team and are going to buy the shirt for that reason.
100%.
Genius.
So I don't have any problem with it, Cromer. I see where you're coming from. I don't talk
about it.
It's not a traditional thing. But to be lit up like that on Hockey Night in Canada by Don Cherry, who's iconic, like, it's just a joke. Sorry, Don. I love you to death, buddy, but you're making something out of nothing.
I hope we can get a rebuttal from Kimball on Thursday. That'd be good, because you know he agrees with Don 100%.
Yeah, but what's he going to say? Oh, well, it's hockey. God. I mean, we could argue probably till the sun comes up tomorrow over why we think it's good or bad, or why we don't give a shit and why we do.
It's amusing.
I just
that
like when you
Don
and him argue.
Cherry.
That's all.
It's amusing that a guy in that suit.
Well, saying some of the shit he said and done things like shock value is number one in his world.
Right.
So why is he worried about this?
So
just saying.
He did him a favor, though. He did him a favor.
Well, he's put him on the map.
Yeah.
What do they say about, like, movie stars, rock stars, any press is good press,
well,
right?
There you
the
go.
His latest thing on this is they better not do it in the playoffs. Do you think they'll do it in the playoffs?
I would. First thing I'd fucking do is I'd do that right away. In fact,
you know hockey players are superstitious as hell.
In fact, I would argue this, that if they get to the playoffs, I would say that Justin Williams might have a bunch of huge white collars made. Because Don Cherry is famous for having these massive collars on his dress shirts. I would argue that they would all skate over, put on these massive white collars, and do a celebration trying to look like Don Cherry. I would say that.
Epic.
Yes.
Epic.
Because don't
that would
dare
be a great
do it in the playoffs.
Answer.
I'd be like, yeah, good
Don
one.
Cherry
That'd be a great answer to mock Don Cherry.
Now that's hockey royalty.
23 huge jackets that are absolutely insane looking, and throw them on and do a celebration after.
That's, you're messing with hockey royalty, and that would be an epic move. Epic,
I wonder what he'd say to that.
Epic.
Don might lose his shit. He might fight every single Carolina Hurricane if that happens.
His face will be right up against the screen.
Oh, and I love Don, so let's not paint a picture that
Don.
I don't love Don.
If you're
I love
hockey, you love Don.
But I just don't think he's right with this particular analysis, let alone the strong verbiage he used. Man, that was professional. Before we go any further, guys.
Yeah, what you got?
We got to congratulate Alex Steen, proud daddy of
a little
baby girl here.
Yes, good for him.
You know, so that's always great to hear. Unfortunately, he had to leave the road trip, but.
That's his first one?
I believe so.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Little girl.
Yeah.
I told him that his world is over now.
Over.
He has two women in his world that are going to run his show, Mama and the baby, and that's just a fact. But congratulations to them. Baby's healthy. Mama's healthy. Alex is doing good. And speaking of which, in his absence, Robbie Fabry had to jump in.
Yeah.
Big Boys. Save.
Well, yeah, okay. But
save of the
now
day.
Let me ask you this. Honestly.
Okay.
And I love Fabs. Do you remember anything else of his two games? I'm not being a dick, right? Because I was sitting there watching, and I was like, wow, that was a hell of a defensive play.
Man,
but I'm like,
that's rough.
Well, what do you say? Am I right or wrong?
You are correct, sir, because I have nothing.
I mean, you think
I pride myself on quick answers, and I have nothing.
It's a fantastic defensive play, and I'm not dogging on Robbie here. I'm just saying he's had a tough go, and it just goes back to my thoughts last week to where I think they should have sent him down to the minors for conditioning to get more ice time, because he has the hustle, he has the desire, he has the talent. He just hasn't had the opportunity to do it consistently. You know, a guy who shows that much effort coming all the way back to his goal line and stopping a for sure goal, like, that tells me that he's still got that drive, you know?
Right. But, man, out of the game for that long, and then you expect him just to jump back in? I was with you on that whole, like, rehab assignment kind of thing.
Just get him going, you know? Now he's, I guess he had to be thrust in because Steiner, obviously, with the birth of his new daughter and everything, you know, wanted to be back for that. Understandable, of course.
What good are we doing Robbie Fabry, though, when that's what we give him and then nothing else happens? I mean, I don't know. At some point you're going to
Is he your bargaining chip?
That's what I'm saying.
Is he your bargaining chip for a Justin Falk?
He's got to be in the conversation.
Know. Now, the problem is Falk makes $5 million, Fabry makes $1
million. Yeah, but I think he's got to be in the conversation with anything Doug Armstrong's doing. Like, you got to wave him out there and say, hey, listen, we aren't able to give him a chance because we have these pieces in place.
Yeah.
But the kid is still, you know, you're going to sell him. Look what he did before the injuries. He's back. He's healthy. And he just needs a shot. And I think your team, you know, has an opening for him, blah, blah, blah. I think those things have to occur. I think you're crazy to think Robbie Favre's ever going to come back as a St. Louis Blue.
I know. And it's hard because I liked him as a St.
Man,
Louis
I was
Blue.
A huge fan.
You know, and yeah. I just I would have liked to have seen this work out a little differently because I thought that he could be a big part of it. But I do feel that the two major injuries set him back, and then the small injuries at the start of this season set him back even further just within the organization.
Right, and we said it when you and I talked earlier when Cromes wasn't here. We said
– and he was healthy scratched.
Yeah, if you liked
Cromer, that is.
Crome was a healthy scratch. Mm. Like, when you, if you liked Jaden Schwartz, you liked Robbie Fabry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're similar. Not identical, but they're similar. And I don't know. I feel bad for Robbie Fabry as a fan, but I hope he gets I hope if the Blues move him, he's moved to a place where he's part of the puzzle there, a piece to their puzzle, and gets his career back. He's too young.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's too young.
And fans are interested, right, because, you know, they realize what a talent he was. And I think a lot of times you hang on to that and you just assume. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way, like ripping on fans. I think you just make assumptions that a guy can be what he was. And, because of the injuries, he may never be what he was. That doesn't mean he's not a bad hockey player. People were sending in stuff and they're like, do you think he's pissed somebody off or gotten a raw deal? And I'm like, no, I just don't. I mean, let's face it. Oscar Sundquist, that would be his ice time. Zach Sanford, that's his ice time. I mean, these guys – you know, even McEachran, these guys have performed.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, Robbie's a piece, you know, like I said, he's a puzzle piece, and his piece doesn't fit the Blues right now.
Not right now,
if you had a guy in the lineup making mistake after mistake, not picking up his assignments, not contributing, well, then that'd be fine. But you don't really have that. And that's another thing that's a tough part.
Well, it's a dream come true for a team to go to rip off 10 in a row. It's a nightmare to be a healthy scratch when your team's winning 10 in a row.
Because you know you're not getting in.
It's just a fact. And if you do get in, it's in such a small portion.
Right.
Because they're like, we're not fucking with what we got here. And, you know, we love Robbie Fabry, but, you know, hopefully, and this is the thought process. It's not my thought, but it is the thought process. Hopefully we can play him here and not have him hurt us. That's the first thing you think of as a coach because you're like, things have been going so well.
Right.
And you're like, we got to spot him in strategically here to relieve some of the pressure from other players, but we don't want to fuck things up.
Right. That's such a sucky thought, and he knows it's the thought.
Like, it's so hard.
Yeah, and he knows it too. And man, it's tough. I wish
you. And you don't want to be the guy on the sidelines, and I speak from experience on this. You do not want to be the guy on the sidelines hoping for injury to another player or hoping for a loss. But – guess what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're sitting there going, because you should be wanting to get back in the lineup. And if you are, then the only way you're getting in is if they lose or if somebody gets hurt.
Or somebody has a baby.
Or somebody has a baby. You're right. But even then, that's almost worse because you look at it and go, okay, well, now Steiner's
now
back.
It's temporary. Yeah.
So temporary.
Tough. So I got two things for you before we go. Let's start first with Jake Allen. It was a back-to-back. You knew he was going to play a game. He played well.
Which, by the way, hang on. I was really surprised that he didn't come back with Bennington after the shutout. I know that sounds crazy because back-to-back and, we already have a plan. We have the thing laid out for the goalies. But, fuck, you got a guy who lays in a shutout that at the time was his third shutout already because I believe he has four now. So at the time was his third shutout. I probably would have thought about coming back with him. So kudos to Craig Berube for sticking to the plan. But then Jake Allen, like you said,
well, since it worked, kudos obviously. But
yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah,
dumbass.
But I was wondering. I was wondering about that too because it's like, well, they're gonna play. Why wouldn't you roll it? But I also thought, and you would know this, Jamie, more than maybe by then they had already laid out the plan to the guys, and you know, you already told Allen, look, you're going set, you know.
Guaranteed he knew.
Yeah. So.
Guaranteed he knew. Especially in that situation, veteran goalie. They're going to try and make sure that they're treating him the right way.
Okay. That happens. I mean, sorry, but that we just came off the same situation. But my goalies knew the plan anyway. It's the playoffs. We are like 1-1A. So I had Wes, and I told him, hey, you're the semifinal guy, and Bestie is the final guy. And they were like, okay. And they went out and did it. So, I mean, obviously different level. But, you know, if you lay the plan, goalies are kind of weird. So if you lay the plan out in front of them, I think that's better.
Yeah.
Than having them.
No, I know. They talk about all this preparation, and I get
goalies
it.
Are weird. Yeah, you know that.
A little bit.
So you've got, then this is where I was going, you've got five games coming up. All, let's face it, they're all big, right? Five games coming up before you go into another back-to-backer. Do you spot a start in here for Jake, or do you ride Bennington until maybe he, you know, God forbid say the word, loses?
Yeah. Well, I would come back with Bennington tomorrow night against the Leafs. I would come back with him. And then, you know, I know that, you know, following that, they go to Dallas. And who played last time against Dallas? Was it Bennington?
I don't remember.
But, you know, Jake has been good on the road. And that, he has been.
Well,
so.
That or Minnesota is where I was looking at. And by the way, when did we start? Like, what's with all the afternoon games?
I mean, because I believe they're national games, right? I believe NBC gets those games. And the only time slot you can get on NBC is afternoon on the weekends. You're not going to get prime time.
I just find it interesting.
Well, isn't that kind of prime time on the weekend, though?
Well, I guess maybe. Although hockey night in Canada is hockey night.
Okay. Yeah, hockey day but in Canada? Hockey day in the United States.
All due respect to Canada.
We're
talking about the U.S. TV public.
You're sitting across the table from him, hockey, Mr.
I know. It wasn't a shot, but hockey's on 24/7 in Canada. It's not in the U.S. So,
true.
If you want people, in my opinion, if you want to expand your market, you don't put them at 7 o'clock on Saturday night in the United States.
No, I agree.
There you go.
I agree.
So you think you'd find a start in these five games for him, even if Bennington continues to play well?
I would contemplate Jake against Dallas, but certainly I'd have him in ink for that game against Minnesota on the back-to-back. That would be my thoughts, because you got Toronto at home, Boston at home, Dallas and Minnesota on the road. Jake's been great on the road, so let's just keep him in that. You know, that that groove, and I would say the Dallas game or the Mini game would be my choice.
And then the last question before we go, and, you know, it just doesn't get talked about enough.
Bennington
in my
played last time against the Stars.
Okay, so then Jake would come against Mini, although Bennington played yesterday, but they're both playing good right now. So
1-3-1.
Maybe the Blues have already made a decision and they're not going to deviate. And we say all the time when clubs make decisions prematurely, why'd they do that? They could have waited. But, I mean, how does the whole Berube taking the whole
– Well, they've already taken the interim tag off.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, not like that was a big secret or a big thing. I didn't think they were going to bring in a replacement mid-season afterwards. But God, guys, honestly, I think that if he gets this team to the playoffs, and I say if because there's always a chance, but it certainly looks like he'll get this team to the playoffs, you have to reward Craig Berube. You have to. I mean,
everybody
wants to say Joel Quenneville. Okay, but Joel, guys, everybody at home, he may not want to come back to St. Louis. He may not want to be here.
And truth be told, is he like,
Maybe he's not the right guy.
But also, and again, you would know more than most, is that the only guy that you could see it being besides Berube, regardless of what happens?
At this point, I wouldn't want any of the recycled coaches. I just don't think any of those guys fit the mold for what they need here.
Sure.
You know, so the only guy that you look at as a recycled coach, if you say that term with Joel Quenneville,
I don't know that I'd use that with
him. I don't know if I'd use that with him, but since he would be coming back to the Blues, it'd kind of be a full recycle out of it. I don't even think so. I think you reward Craig Berube with a contract extension and try to continue to drag this group upward in the National Hockey League, and we still don't know ultimately where this team finishes.
Well, and I say this with all honest, I'll defer to you, is what his role in this is probably understated, even though people are giving him credit. I would say even giving him credit, what he did is understated. And I would say that taking on the persona of your head coach is always something that people talk about. And let's face it, he was as tough as they come, and maybe the NHL isn't as tough as it used to be. But
maybe
what you're going to find is once you get to the playoffs, you better be that way, right?
Well, so, you got to play hard. And I think that's the number one thing that Craig Berube has said, and it's one thing that we've all kind of reiterated around here, is he says compete. We got to compete. Every night we compete. Every shift we compete. And
we mentioned it too. When a guy like Berube and a guy like Otter say compete.
Gary's in love. He has the biggest man crush on Steve Ott.
I don't. You do. Ask him. I was not a Steve Ott fan on the ice.
Well, you've done everything except what.
You know what? But here's the thing. I think, again, there's some weight when the guy competes like that. When you know this, Rivs, because you were this guy.
I'm just busting your balls.
I know, but you were this guy. You put your body on the line. You did, and they did. And if a guy like those guys say, freaking compete, what are you going
to
do?
Oh,
you're
going to
compete, or you're going to look like something else.
Well,
it begins with a B.
It's,
but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. The timing of this
is... If you're a man, then you compete.
But the
man
timing
just
of all of it is essential here, right? So you change your head coach. You bring in Craig Berube. You bring Steve Ott down from the press box to the bench.
Man crush.
That's right. Gary's man crush. at this point as a team, you have to do what the new coaching staff wants you to do. Or, because you know how that works, right? You change the coach. If that doesn't work, you change the players. And so they changed the coach, made an adjustment. Otter's down on the bench now. And I think as a team, and you hear compete, compete, compete. And the message has never been different. Whether it's Steve Ott or Mike Van Ryan or Craig Berube, who's the head guy in charge now. Craig Berube, if you watch his interviews, if you watch everything he says, there's no bullshit. It's just very straightforward. Yeah. Boring almost, but straightforward. And so if you're a player, the message is never different. The message is you got to compete. It's a team game. You have to compete. You go to Otter, compete. Yep, compete, 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 work hard, compete, play as a team. You hear this over and over again, and there's no, veering off the tracks. This is what you have to do.
Well, not that they're in the same league with the guy I'm about to mention, but you get that same direct, it's not fancy, it's a direct line, and it's about competing all the time. And who says that? The best coach on the planet, Bill Belichick.
I love this. Right? You just said that. Kimby right now just threw up in his own mouth somewhere.
Well, maybe he did, but that's the reality of it. Not that Craig is doing it because he sees Belichick doing it, but that's what he's doing.
That's just kind of who he is, though. Yeah. That's kind of who Chief is. It's just very straightforward. It's very black and white, and I think the players appreciate that right now, and that's why they're reacting well to it.
Seems like 10 games in a row.
Unbelievable.
That's nuts.
You got it. I mean,
hold on. Got one.
Oh, you got one?
Uh-oh. Let's say it's December-ish, whatever.
Oh.
Early December-ish.
We're time machine. We're going back in time. Hot
I like
time
this.
Machine.
Marty.
It's this obvious question. If you had, you asked me, so if you have $1,000 and you have to bet and make a bet, and you have to lay down that the $1,000 says the Blues will lose 7-10 in a row or win 7-10 in a row. Where was your money going? Duh.
Listen, there's a whole bunch of people broke now.
No kidding.
Oh,
except
agree.
For Sarah, our friend Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah's
She's
all
She's been
over
a believer.
It.
The power of positivity.
Been
all
a believer since day
all
one.
All the time.
This is true.
As I said earlier, I don't tell anybody how to fan. If you want to be frustrated, be frustrated. If you want to think, do whatever. This has been amazing and fun. Let's face it. It's been awesome.
Well, it's a lot more fun for the entire – I'm not going to say the entire city of St. Louis because not everybody's a hockey fan. However, anybody who's talking about the Blues these days, whether they're a hardcore fan or just somebody who's hearing about it, they're loving it.
Yeah.
They're loving it. It's created this big sunshine over the city of St. Louis.
You're in every rink, and I'm in some. everybody's happy.
Oh, every conversation. How about the Blues?
Everybody
shit, the Blues.
In the rinks, everybody's happier.
Yeah.
The kids are happier. The parents are happier. The coaches are happier. Everything. Man, I you know, like if anybody ever questions the impact that a professional sport has on a community, then you should come. You should have been in St. Louis in the fall and now be, and now be in St. Louis now. The impact is overwhelming.
It's crazy.
I guarantee you.
I leaving the house right now.
I'll bet you. We'll make another bet, but
Jesus.
I guarantee this.
We're making bets.
He's trying to double down and get rid of the cream spinach. No chance.
No. Yeah, there I am. But no, I'll bet this. And I'll bet you guys always sell out anyway, so maybe this isn't a fair statement, but I bet you there's been a little surge in Synergy. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe a couple people that never have been in Synergy are in Synergy now.
I will say this. It's absolutely a proven fact that when the Blues play good, everything to do with hockey locally does better.
Right.
And a couple years ago when we had our biggest spike in attendance and people who were starting to play the game with the Little Blues program and all this, it was almost a direct correlation to them getting to the Western Conference Final.
Yeah,
everybody was buzzing. Everybody wanted to talk about hockey. Everybody wanted to talk Blues, and that's just a fact. And
right.
You know, we talk about the Brett Hull boom.
Yeah,
right. Well, Brett Hull put hockey on the map essentially in St. Louis on a international scale.
Right.
And now you've got these guys that are just continuing to do their thing, and 10 in a row. Yes, it makes me want to get out of the house in the morning. For a while there, I didn't want to see anybody. I was wearing disguises to the rink just so I didn't have to talk about the Blues, but. You know, now, you're right. It has a direct correlation to kids who want to be at the rink, parents who want to be at the rink, people that want to talk hockey, people that want to know hockey. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, how could you have predicted this? How could you have wanted to bet? But, hey, I don't care. As long as they're playing well at the end. you can dog them, you can bitch, you can do everything you want to do, but the reality, whatever it takes for them to play well. That's all that matters. I mean, who knows? Crazier things have happened, right?
Play Gloria!
Man.
Gloria. I mean, what a great song. Little Laura Branigan.
I love it. Laura Branigan, she was hot, too, back in the day. Damn. Good for her.
How old is that song? 80
I think I'm going
to
say it's 81.
81?
I think it is 81.
Holy cow.
Because I fucking love 80s music.
1982.
82? I bet it was made in 81, released in 82.
Oh, for goodness sakes. 1982.
She sang Self Control, too, I believe.
Yes.
That was her other big hit.
Yeah, well, it wasn't as big. Her one hit wonder was Gloria. Self Control was a distant second.
And that was a remake, a redo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was... Man, we're back on. Hey, it's time for an 80s night.
I love it.
82.
Plus,
I love it.
Not to mention, anytime... A story revolves around now on stage 7. Gloria.
I
love
it. Imagine that, right? That, welcome back to the stage. Play Gloria. The lovely Peaches.
Peaches.
Peaches and Herb. Reunited.
Just don't
feel so good.
Cinnamon around Gary.
Oh, doctor.
Gross.
Doctor. Gross.
Come on.
Well, you know, the tone, it's funny though. Somebody did bring this up. They're like, man, the tone of the podcast is so much better when they're winning than when they're losing. It's like, well,
yeah,
I mean, what do you think we're going to talk about?
Well, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
Jesus, we don't have to talk about Cromer or anything to do with him. It's always positive.
This is all crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, hey, listen, this has been fun. Hopefully, it's been Victory Monday. Victory Thursday would be good as well.
I hope so. Do we have the old Buffalo head in here on Thursday?
Well, we're waiting to hear from him. I mean, they're working this poor guy to the
bone. I know he's working. I'm not dogging on the
guy. To the bone.
Calling him a Buffalo head.
I just miss him.
A Buffalo head.
You know
head.
What, though? It's affectionate because not many people could call him Buffalo head and get away with it. So it's done with love, is it not?
I love him to death, man. Seriously.
It's a lot of love to love that head.
But no, we appreciate it. Hey, listen, you brought up Synergy Hockey Skills. We want to thank SynergyHockeySkills.com for their support, especially in the amateur community. Our friends, Nelson Land Services, 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices, and the work that they do is tremendous. You, Gary, you know this family well. Jamie, you and Darren have gotten to know them, you know, like best friends over the years, and they're great people that just want to support the amateur community. So give them an opportunity for your business. That's NelsonLandServices.com. You also heard us mention Synergy Hockey Skills, and while Gary's correct, they usually do fill up. Jamie, you can kind of throw a shout out to all your boys at Synergy Hockey.
Yeah, no, it's spring hockey is right around the corner. They got everybody's going to be doing a whole bunch of craziness. Each association, we've got lessons going on during that time. Get you ready for tryouts that you might have in the spring. And then, of course, the big one is the summer. Our summer camps are right around the corner. We're filling up quickly. Go to synergyhockeyskills.com, click on summer camps, pick the best location for you, and sign up today before they're gone, before Gary Henson keeps giving me this free PR and we're sold out.
Sold out, sold out. Speaking of selling out, too, now don't forget this.
Wow.
Speaking of selling out, don't forget that when you go to Adam's Smokehouse, get there early because, you know, with your top barbecue places, I mean, when they run out of stuff, they run out. So get down there, get the ribs, the pulled pork sandwich is unbelievable. They had a pulled rib sandwich here one day that was amazing. But like I said, I know, Jamie, you're all in on brisket.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
that. But everything they got's tremendous. We're enjoying some of the feedback we are getting, but we need more. We need more feedback.
Yeah,
you guys.
You guys, it's been pretty boring.
Let's
get out there to Adam's Smokehouse here right now.
Adam's Smokehouse, get your pictures, send them to us. Just tag us. Tag us in Adam's Smokehouse and what you send us. All we need is a picture of you eating down there. You guys will be eligible for the contest. Looking forward to having you guys at our Live from Minute Arena show on March 21st, you and a guest. Hopefully Coach Henson can join us then as well. Maybe he'll be winning a national title at that time. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that would be cool. Something.
Might be eating spinach, too.
Hey, you know, I was going to ask you about something. I saw some stuff going around on Twitter, like what else could help promote hockey in St. Louis, and one of the things people are like, we need a D1 program.
Yeah.
That's going to be you.
Yeah. We're moving to ACHA D1 next year, so that's a big jump for us, and we're pretty excited about it. But it was a plan we put in place 2013, and luckily it's come to fruition.
Well, way to rapidly get that done.
Yeah,
I
impressive.
Know, I'm just kidding. 5-6 year process.
Come on, man.
No,
that
I'm
is
just
pretty
kidding.
Quick, though.
I'm just
man.
Kidding. I was just having a little fun with you.
Just Jamie will know, or Jamie will understand this. The first game I ever coached at McKendree, we got beat by a midget double-A team 9-1.
Wow. That says a lot.
There you go.
That's for going
you,
a long way.
You hockey people in the world.
Don't mean to toot my own horn, but toot.
And for those who don't, I am going to
toot.
Well,
you should
no,
be.
For those who don't know, like my roster is made up of, there's every person on my roster, every young man on my roster, but two have played some form of junior hockey. And most of them have aged out through juniors. The only two that haven't played AAA here locally and in Canada. So, I mean, the quality of hockey is really, really good, and we're making the jump next year, and I think we're going to be successful there, too.
Well, that'd be good.
Good for you. I think there's only one way to get out of here.
Yeah? What is it?
Well.
Let's go Blues. So yell it.
Play Gloria!